And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news. In a tiny little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. The adventure continues, man. So after all our technical problems last hour, our ace engineer, Paul Carvalho, raced out to my house for the second time today. We switched out a computer during the top of the hour news. We're still trying to get something else connected so we can present to you all that we need to. And I'm more exhausted than I've ever been in my entire life doing a show. Okay, let me get back to some of the Fast 15 stuff here. And I was telling you right before the top of the hour that I'm real closely watchdogging stuff here in King County, Western Washington, government choosing what's allowable and what is banned. And we're starting to see a very distinct agenda emerge in what they allow and what they ban. And I find that to be unbelievably disturbing. And so we also have to watchdog the media. And I mentioned CBS. Of course, we cannot let migrant children into the country right now. That would be suicide when we're trying to tamp down coronavirus. And CBS, citing coronavirus, the U.S. is swiftly deporting migrant children. Well, yeah, as opposed to putting them into detention centers where we could expose an entire community of people to COVID-19, of course, during an international health pandemic, we cannot allow children who have not been medically checked whatsoever to cross our border. But CBS, yeah, put a little spin in the headline to make it sound like somehow that was the government is abusing coronavirus. And then the other one that I mentioned right before the top of the hour. Idaho governor beats deadline and signs two anti-transgender bills into law. Then I read the story. And one of the bills said that that high school kids cannot play a high school sport that differs from their biological gender. So in other words, and we've already seen this, in Connecticut, there were some girls' track and field reds that had stood for a couple of decades. And then last year, two biological boys competed as girls, shattered the state girls' record, denied biological girls the medals, denied biological girls the chance to compete in regionals where there were a bunch of college coaches there to see them, and they didn't get a chance to compete in front of the college coaches. And those girls are so, and not, that's not anti-transgender, that's just pro-female. I mean, I've spent a big chunk of my life coaching girls. And if at the high school level, if there's a kid who's a biological boy, who's 6'6", 230 pounds, and says, yeah, I'm here to turn out for the girls' basketball team. Saying no to that isn't anti-transgender. It's just pro-common sense. You can't, there's a gigantic physical, biological, physiological advantage for biological boys. So, again, CBS spins that bill as anti-transgender. And then the other one, it says that you can't change your gender on your birth certificate in Idaho now. No, is that anti-transgender? What's the benefit? In Washington, you can. I could today. I've told you this many times. I was born a boy at Ballard Hospital. I grew up a boy in Ballard. I went to college as a teen, a young man. I've worked my professional life as a man. I've been a husband, a father. And I'm whatever age I am now. I don't like to say it. But if I wanted to today, I could go to Olympia, State Records Department, and say, Hey, I was a girl on October 2nd, 1961. And they would have to change my gender. Now, that doesn't make any sense. That's insane. So Idaho passing a law saying, yeah, hey, Monson, you can't say that you were a girl the day you were born 58 years ago. That's not anti-transgender. That's just pro-reality. I wasn't a girl 58 years ago, and I shouldn't be able to put it on a government official document today. But in Washington, you can't. In, according to CBS News, that's anti-transgender somehow. So I don't like the spin the media's putting out there these days. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. I haven't heard this one. You were telling me about this, Nicole, and I was so busy with other stuff this morning. In fact, I haven't even talked to you, Nicole. How are you feeling? Everybody was worried about you yesterday. They said you sounded sicker than a dog. Go ahead.
It's not the COVID-19, I don't believe. It's a kind of a head cold. Of course, and I'm trying to avoid a virus, I would get just a cold. But yeah, it's just a sneezy allergy sinus thing going on. But I've been assured that no temperature, me, and amongst other no symptoms of COVID. It's just a cold.
Well, now you're making me a little worried because you told me it was allergies, and now you've upgraded it to a cold. I don't like that.
Well, I'm assuming. I don't know. Allergies probably would. I don't know. Maybe it is allergies. My allergies have been escalating a little every year, so I don't really. I don't know.
Okay, I just want you, and I know you saw this on the text messages. No, don't even say that. But I know you saw on the text messages, the listeners, they were horribly worried about you yesterday.
Voice did sound different yesterday. Sean said I sound better today, so I think I sound closer to normal today.
Okay, all right, that's good.
It's a fast-moving cold, I'm sure.
Okay, all right. Well, I haven't even heard this one, but you told me that there was some good Joe Biden audio that just came in before we went on the air.
Yes, there's a few different cuts. I'll play you the best one first, because I think that it is him talking to MSNBC, I believe, and it's pretty self-explanatory.
Americans are terrified. What is your message to them?
My message is that the president has to move more rapidly. You know, we know from experience that speed matters. We know that you can't go too fast. It's about going too slow. And in order to avoid that, those very high numbers, we have to do at least several things. One, we have to depend on what the president's going to do right now. And first of all, he has to wait till the cases before anything happens. Look, the whole idea is he's got to get in place things that were shortages of. We're not testing enough people. We don't, our first responders, docs and nurses don't have the gloves, the mask. They don't have the equipment they need. We're short on ventilators. And as this spreads to other areas, which is likely to do, we don't have the capacity to surge the equipment that they need. He has to use the Defense Production Act much more aggressively, including not just the ventilators, but getting gloves, masks, shields, gowns, et cetera.
Do you remember the question?
What was the question? What's your advice to the American people?
Who are scared. What do you say to people who are scared? That was his answer.
Oh, my goodness. Look, there's this growing talk that he's not going to be the nominee, even though there's barely a way for him to lose at this point. But it's just insanity. He cannot be the
Dory, you're kind of popping in and out there.
Yikes, Dory.
I'm popping in and out, Paul. My engineer Paul's right next to me.
Here, really quick, I'll play you another Biden while we get you settled.
Play me some more Biden here.
Here's him calling CVS. I think he's trying to say CVS anyway.
Well, the president had said that a couple weeks ago that every CVC and other, he named four outlets, were going to have testing sites outside of their...
It's VS, not CVC. And then this one.
And when it all started in Luhan province. And what happened?
The Luhan province?
Luhan instead of Luhan. Luhan. I thought I thought it was racist to even reference that. Joe Biden's a racist, in my opinion, calling it the Luhan province. Okay, let's see.
You seem to be back.
They're talking about. Okay, my microphone's good. Okay. Yeah, there's growing talk that Andrew Cuomo, that the Democrats want to find a way to weasel him into the nomination now. But just this morning, he denied that he would be interested in either being Biden's running mate or taking over for the party. But I don't see how they can go forward with Joe as their nominee. He's not making any sense when he talks. And I don't know if this whole COVID-19 has been a good thing or a bad thing for Joe, because it's kept him out of the media as much as possible. But these things that he's doing from his basement, every time he speaks, and they could control these things. They would only have to release him at his most lucid, but for some reason they're live streaming some of them, and it's turning out disastrously. So it's crazy, man. Okay, next up. In the Fastest 15, Mark Cuban, the billionaire who is politically pretty much a centrist, but he's a pretty pragmatic guy. And he was speaking today, and he says that he is impressed with the job the federal government is doing.
Look, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, right? I'm not a fan of Donald Trump's as president. I haven't been for a while. But that said, he's obviously adjusted and adapted, and he's doing his best. You know, we are where we are. You know, in the past, it wasn't all that long ago when he was saying, you know, people were wondering how he understood medicine so well, right? That they thought, you know, he was just a genius for being able to understand all this stuff. But now he's kind of evolved to the point where he's putting his experts up front. You know, there's a reason why Dr. Fauci became a rock star, and he's only a rock star because Donald Trump stepped aside. You know, I forget the woman's name. She's a rock star as well, right? And the head of FEMA, the Surgeon General. There's just people who have really put themselves out there and put themselves at risk. And during the press conferences, he steps aside. He's not even in camera shot. Now, and that's good. And I give him all the credit in the world. Do I like the side comments and the picking on journalists? No, never have, never will. That's who he is. But, you know, credit earned is credit deserved. And so I'll give him credit where we're at right now.
Okay. And, you know, every poll is showing that the vast majority of Americans agree with Mark Cuban on that. And by the way, Jay Inslee's earning very high grades in our state for the way he's handling it locally. And as I said, I support a lot of what the governor has done, but I don't like this clear political agenda that is emerging in the capriciousness of how we do things around here.
One other thing related to really quick, you might not get enough credit for putting, you know, Fauci has become this idol. I mean, everybody loves him, and he might not get enough credit for putting the right people in front of the cameras and the right people in charge of these things that people to trust these people. They don't trust him. They trust the people he's putting in charge.
Fauci has so much credibility that he can disagree with the president. He's figured out a way to do it gently. When, you know, Trump said that he would like to see America reopen to business by the middle of April, I guarantee you that Fauci was cringing because, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I knew that there was no way we were going to go from where we are now to open for business 2 weeks from now. And I guarantee you Fauci was cringing, and Fauci just said, yeah, I think that was aspirational, which it was, but it was dumb of President Trump, because anytime he puts a date out there for anything that he's doing, then when they don't meet that deadline, his critics are going to seize all over it. Although some of his critics, they've got no grounds for that. Let me give you an example. Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, she a couple of weeks ago, or just a week ago, she was talking about how Trump wasn't going to get anything done. And in particular, that gigantic gigantic Navy hospital ship pulled into New York Harbor yesterday, and Governor Cuomo is thrilled because the president was able to deliver that ahead of schedule. And here was Rachel Maddow a week ago on MSNBC talking about how this Navy ship in New York City would never happen.
In terms of the happy talk we've had on this front from the federal government, there is no sign that the Navy hospital ships that the president made such a big deal of, the Comfort and the Mercy, there's no sign that they'll be anywhere on site helping out anywhere in the country for weeks yet. The president said when he announced that those ships would be put into action against the COVID-19 epidemic, he said one of those ships would be operational in New York Harbor by next week. That's nonsense. It will not be there next week.
No, it was there yesterday. It met the deadline. So in other words, you know, for somebody who likes to call the president a liar, as Rachel Maddow's been doing for 4 years, she's every bit as big or a bigger liar, because she sat there and she told her, I don't know how many viewers she has, but she sat there and she told all of them that these things were never going to happen, and they did. And so how does she have any credibility when they complain about the president? How do these people in the media who just sit there and spin lies out of whole cloth, because everybody knows that she had no basis for what she was saying. He's not going to be able to do that for weeks and weeks and weeks. And there were, I think it was 8 days after she said that, it pulled into New York Harbor. So you got to be careful of the people in the media. And again, I'm talking about the national media that has been the most reprehensible. But you got to be careful about them, because what they criticize the most, what's that called? Transference? What they criticize the most is what they embody the most. Okay, next up in the Festus 15. Hey, by the way, Sean, Y'all loaded for bear for Dave Wyman's weekly visit in a few minutes here?
I sure am, yeah.
Okay, and I'm not blaming you. In fact, I'm giving you some credit, because I kind of dominated Name That Artist in most of last year, but I believe Dave is ahead 5-2 so far this year.
Yeah, so far.
It's kind of tragic for
Dave
him.
Is really stepping his game up, which is nice.
Or you're in cahoots with him.
Mm. No. I'm never in cahoots. I'm always out of cahoots. Okay, I don't do any cahoots.
I do have an idea for a theme that I'll tell you off the air, and it'll sound like I'm trying to rig it. Mm-hmm. In fact, forget it. You pick your own.
Oh,
you pick your own music. I'm not going to suggest a theme.
I would totally shoot you down with that, Dory. You that would be sort of a rigging deal. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so just be loaded for Wyman coming up in just a few minutes here. He's been at home this whole time, so I'll see how he's dealing with all of these challenges. All right, there you have it. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. All right, you can check the news and then check in. Dave Wyman, his weekly visit is next here on the Dory Monson Show.
It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Cardi like
no.
It's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fuck.
Who's his guest?
Dave said,
Who?
50 Cent, but he said someone else first, but that was wrong. 50 Cent.
Who'd you say first, Dave?
I said Kanye.
Oh. Well, you're ahead 1-0. I was complaining to Sean. You've won 5 of the 7 Name That Artists in 2020. It's the decade of
Wow,
Dave.
Wow, that's weird that you keep track of that.
I keep track of everything, Dave. If you don't keep scoring life, how do you know who's winning?
I like it. I like that theory. Let's go with it.
You know what? That continually baffles me. And is that a suggestion that at my age, there's still something or there is something desperately wrong with me? Because you and Brock and Moyer, who have all competed at the highest level of athletics, I would think the only way you could do that is if you are the most competitive human being alive. And yet all three of you have told me that I'm the most competitive person you know. Does that indicate some kind of weakness in me that I still have to win at everything?
Well, there's a different story between being competitive and being a crybaby, I guess. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't. I figure.
I'm glad you laughed at that.
I don't think that you're that competitive. I mean, as a friend, I mean, if somebody's really competitive, like I don't compete with my friends unless, you know, we have like a contest that we both agree to. I'm not there to one up them or compete with them or, you know, it's just like a family member to me that I don't compete with my friends, you know, unless we say, okay, we're going to play this game, like name that tune, and that's fine. But I don't know, maybe Brock and Paul are like me where it's like, well, I competed in the NFL, which was maybe the most competitive thing you can do in the world. And so now all the other ones just seem kind of, I don't really care if I win or not. I'm just having fun. That might be it.
I don't think I'll ever be like that where I don't care. I can't imagine a life where I don't care, even if it's about just the... I was playing Scrabble last night with my wife and my daughter. And now, both of your adult kids have been home with you guys, right? During all this?
Yes.
I love it. I just love... you know, two of our girls are here and our son-in-law. And we're playing Scrabble last night. My wife, my youngest daughter, and I, and I'm just furious. We're coming towards the end of the game. I see a pathway to victory. I have a word that is going to put me into the lead, and my youngest daughter puts out the word F. E F. Now, would you challenge that if you were playing Scrabble?
Absolutely.
If I don't challenge,
my daughter does these. Yeah, my daughter does these, we do these word games, and she just throws letters together, and they make some weird, you know, little word that you've never heard of before, like F-E-F. So, yeah, that drives me nuts. I do get kind of competitive and sort of, I'll complain about that if that happens with my daughter.
Well, and if I don't challenge it, then I've taken away that it's taken away my one pathway to victory. So of course I challenged it, and I pull up the Scrabble dictionary on my phone, and I type in EF, and it says yes, that is a word.
Oh. What
How?
Do you mean?
I don't know. But here's what's ruined it: our kids have all, and I don't know if it's as popular now as it was a few years ago, but they were all playing Words with Friends on their phone, and they would compete against each other, and they started getting good at spelling and finding weird words, but I was just ticked off. I was a sore loser because I didn't win at Scrabble with my wife and daughter last night.
Yeah, I don't blame you, and I'll be honest, I do get competitive. Like, we do this, have you guys played Catchphrase? It's a game you know, that you can play on your phone. And so, you know, you're describing something without saying it. And, I love that game. And I get pretty competitive on that. I tell everybody that I'm the master and I'm really the best in the family. And that if you put anybody with me, we will win, whether it's me and Jake, me and Kendall, me and Shannon. So, yeah, I do get kind of competitive on that one. But I'm with you on the little made-up words, because what – my daughter, when she does Words with Friends, she's so fast because she's on her phone 23 hours a day. And, you know, she's so fast moving the numbers around that she just moves them around and these, you know, little combinations like, ooh, and I bet you she couldn't tell me what half of those words mean.
Right, exactly. All right, well, enough about all of that. I haven't even gotten to the most important news of the day with you yet. Happy birthday!
Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's lots of people born on March 31st that I've run into.
Such as?
It's a great day. Well, one of our board ops and his mom, both on March 31st. And then actually my wife had a boyfriend when she was like in, had just got out of high school. We were born on the exact same day. Quentin Jefferson was born March 31st. Okay. There was another pass rusher that I talked to March 31st. Al Gore, Doyle, you'll be excited for that one. Wow. Who else? Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of 331 babies out there.
Well, I can tell you right now. I can tell you who else because I just pulled it up. YouTube star Tiffany Ma is 27 yes. today.
great. People.
Also, YouTube star Karina Kozyreva is 21 today.
Oh, Kozyreva, yeah. She does and, the videos there on YouTube.
And let's see who else. Whoa, Dave, Johann Sebastian Bach.
No way.
Way.
Yeah, great architect.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken, yeah, he's a good one.
Yeah, Ewan, I don't know how you say his first name. Actor Ewan McGregor.
McGregor, yeah. Okay.
Okay, have we had enough of this?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Did you like my architect joke?
Yeah. Yeah, I really did.
Johann Sebastian.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, let me take a quick time out. Are we going to be able to get you on your broadcast line instead of the phone during this next commercial break?
I'm hoping so. Yeah, if you get me, I'm signed into the 97.3 thing. I just need to find a line to get through to Sean.
Oh, shoot. I don't know if I know who this is.
Sounds like a mariachi thing.
Mariachi. Sean, I do not know. Who is this?
Stevie Wonder.
Oh, wait. Oh! You can see it's your birthday, Dave. We should have figured that out.
That was dumb. I know.
Okay, we've got a lot of other stuff to talk with Dave Wyman about. And we shall continue this scintillating conversation as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Tom Jones!
Nice, Dory.
You ever see Tom Jones in concert, Dave?
No, of course not. And I know you're going to tell me that he's fantastic in concert. What's better, him or
fantastic.
Barry Manilow?
Barry.
Oh.
But Tom Jones is fantastic and almost without equal. But Barry's,
you know what I like
better.
The most about him is the way he holds the microphone.
It's very cool.
It is very cool. Yeah.
The one thing that's disturbing at his concerts, back in the 60s when he was one of the biggest sex symbols in the world, women would come and throw their panties at him during his concert back in the 60s and early 70s.
That doesn't sound very sanitary.
No. In these days of social distancing, he definitely shouldn't be doing that. But anyway, I went and saw him. They used to have a cool concert set up on the Seattle waterfront. They had a concert at the Pier Series. And Tom Jones had to be, you know, like 75 when I saw him. I don't know how old he is now. But just as kind of a kitschy thing, women would still walk up to the stage and throw panties at him. And then it's just disturbing at that point.
Yeah. Well, you're 79 years old. My gosh. Yeah, what? I mean, I don't even want to make a comment about what kind of underwear flying up there.
No.
When you're 79 years old. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, let's move on from that.
Okay. Want to hear my sad story of the week?
Yes.
Okay. Here you go. Tom Jones, by the way, is 79 years old. That's what you just said. Good call. So what's the one
total
sport,
guess.
Dave, that, yeah, what's the one sport that is still going in America today?
One sport, you know, that's still going in America, bowling?
no, I think the alleys have closed. Horse
is
racing.
Bowling a sport? Oh, horse racing, yes. Really? Oh, you're
horse racing
me.
Is still going. No, they're not allowing any fans at the track, but they're allowing people to still gamble on the horse races. And so Saturday morning, I'm desperate for any change of routine because I've been in the house really since my knee surgery. So I've been at home for 7 weeks now, Dave. And I think, well, I'll just play a little Florida horse racing. And I play the early pick four at Tampa Bay Downs, and I hit it for $1,000, Dave.
Oh, nice. I thought this was a sad story.
Well, I'm getting there. So then I'm talking to your and my dear friend, Matt Stretch Johnson, the Sounders Stretch. Play-by-play guy, the only guy who loves horse racing as much as I do. Mm-hmm. And he and I went to the Breeders' Cup in New Jersey together a few years ago. And we're gonna play the pick six that afternoon. And in fact, your name even came up. We were going to call you and see if you wanted a piece of the action. Would you have been in?
Sure. Well, how much?
Okay. Well, I put together a ticket, and it was going to be $540. And Matt said, do you want to split that? And I'll go in with you. And being the greedy person I am, I said, well, I just won $1,000 this morning. So I think I'm just going to make a run at it myself here. Yeah. And then I go to enter it, and I look at my account balance, and the $1,000 isn't there. And it turns out when I entered that winning pick four, I clicked the wrong number on one of them. And even though I handicapped it to win $1,000, I didn't win it at all.
Oh, man.
And
that's brutal.
It's, it was like when we went with Paul Moyer to Emerald Downs. It was kind of like that.
Yeah, Moyer lost his ticket, and you had to bail him out. He didn't know that the ticket was like cash, and so he loses it. And, of course, everything stops because Moyer, you know, has a problem. Nobody can handicap. Nobody can do anything. Paul's got a problem. Okay, everybody halt, and let's see if we can bail him out of this. And then along comes Dory, who picks, what was that horse, like a 10-to-1 shot or something like that that you got for him?
His ticket, his cash voucher was for $250. And first of all, Paul was just disgusted because he left it in the machine. He was disgusted that somebody would just take it and walk off with it. Like
at the track,
there are no exactly. Yeah, I've never heard of any shady characters at the racetrack.
No.
but then I said, "Okay, Paul," I said, "give me $50," and yeah. I found a 5-to-1 shot, and it won, and he got his $250 back. So everything was good there.
The other part you missed, the biggest part of that was the horse that you picked, like almost fell over coming out of the gate. Like it totally stumbled. And we're like, oh, great. And you're like, hey, just hang in there. Hold on. He's a closer. And sure enough, that thing came all the way back. I mean, he must have been behind by like 7 lengths coming down the backstretch and just came roaring home. It was awesome.
That was good times. All right, we're tied at 1 here. This will decide it.
ZZ Top.
Dory got that.
Whoa, there's a delay here. I said it the same time he did, and there was a delay. No
hey,
way.
I thought you weren't. I thought you weren't competitive with France. What happened to that, Mr. Laid Back?
All right, maybe that was BS.
Okay, all right. Well, good talk with you. You guys find enough to talk about in your show?
Yeah, yesterday I did a whole thing on the comparing the Seahawk draft to other people's drafts. We talked to Lofa Tatupu, who was awesome. Been getting some good guests. Moyer's been coming on, you know. So yeah, it's rolled nice. Right along, surprisingly.
You can hear Dave every afternoon, 3 to 7, on Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle. All right, Dave, thank you, man. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Dory. Stay safe out there.
And we got either the big lead or a Corona Task Force briefing live from the White House straight ahead here on the Dory Monster.